Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship Service. Today starts the Advent season. Do you see this beautiful Christmas Advent wreath? Now, the Advent season is a time in which the Christian church is anticipating, waiting for the arrival of Jesus Christ, His birth, hence the name, the Advent. It refers to waiting, expecting, all right? Now, each Sunday of the Advent, we're going to light a candle. And each candle represents something about Jesus Christ's power, majesty, and glory, and His good news. Good news. Because we're starting a brand new series called Good News for Troubling Times. Rediscover Christmas. And for those of you who have received our Christmas wreath kit, please light the candle with me. We light the candle of hope in the name of Jesus, because in the words of Malachi the prophet, he said, the Son of Righteousness is coming. The Son of Righteousness is coming. And that means the light of Jesus Christ is going to give us hope. The hope for you, the hope for me, and for the hope of the world. So let's begin with a question. Today, what are you hoping for? What are your hopes and aspirations? If you are in the university, I am sure you are busy with exams and papers, and you've tried hard and you worked hard, but you weren't quite prepared, and you submitted your paper, and you say to yourself, I hope I get a solid B. Is that you? Or you are hoping for a bonus. The end of the year is coming, and you're hoping that there will be a really, really handsome bonus for Christmas. Are you hoping for that? Perhaps you are hoping something for something more significant and profound. Maybe you're hoping that in the next year, you may find a Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. Or you are hoping that your finance will shape up in the new year. You hope and you hope and you hope. And oftentimes, we say, fingers crossed, and hope for the best. Now, when we use these statements of hope, what we're really saying is, we are not certain. We are sure about what we desire. We desire a good thing in the future, but we're not certain, we are unsure if they will come to pass. And that's why we use the word hope. It connotes our uncertainty that our good desire will happen in the future. One of my favorite movies of all time is Shawshank Redemption. Have you seen that movie? If you haven't, you ought to try that. The main characters, Tim Robbins is playing the character of Andy, and Mr. Morgan Freeman is playing the character of Red. And there's a conversation in the movie that really captures the theme of hope. Now, Andy, played by Tim Robbins, he holds on to hope. And this is what he said. Hope is a good thing. Maybe the best of things. And no good thing ever dies. Okay? You sense his hopefulness, right? Now, Red, played by Morgan Freeman, his character has been incarcerated, and he's been there for decades and decades. Tim Robbins, his character, was innocent, falsely accused, and he is doing time, but he's holding on to hope. Morgan Freeman, on the other hand, he was guilty, and he spent most of his adult life in prison. But this is what he says about hope. He says, hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane. Hope can even kill a man. Now, what does he mean by that? What he means is this. He had held on to hope that he will be paroled. And with every parole interview, he is denied. And with each denial, he feels disappointed, rejected. And with each shattered hope, he becomes more slowly, hopeless. And that's what it means. Because when you lose hope, when your hopes are shattered, when you don't see the good thing in the future, They can drive a man insane. It can even kill a man. So here's my question for you. Hope is needed. We are a creature which cannot live without hope. We need this future reference. We need certainty of the future. We need security of future. We desire good things in the future, and we must know that they will come to pass. So I'm really glad that we're starting this series today. Good news for troubling times. Rediscover hope. So here is hope. And I want to read for you a passage from the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament of the Bible. And you will see and you will sense and you will feel both hopelessness in the beginning, but towards the end, there is hopefulness. So let's go there to Luke chapter 1. But before you do that, would you please join me in a prayer? Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, in the name of Christ, in the name of Christ, Christ who is our hope, I pray, O Lord, that you open our eyes, that we may see the hope of Jesus. Open our ears, that we may hear the voice of hope. Open our hearts, that Christ, who is our hope, may be conceived. To your glory, we pray. Amen. So now hear the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 1. In the time of King of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. And he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord, the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepare for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, before we get into the passage, any good Bible student, you need to do something called historical analysis. You got to know the backdrop, the context in which these words were spoken. So let me bring back. We start the passage. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, that is a reference, that is the first clue as to what has happened prior to Luke chapter 1. The Bible is divided into two parts. The first part is the Old Testament, time before Christ came. And the second part, second half, is called the New Testament. Now, Luke is at the very beginning of the New Testament, the birth of Jesus Christ, as you know. And the last book of the Old Testament, do you know? Can you guess? The last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. It's a small book. It's filled with the prophecy, oracle of the prophet Malachi. Now, between the last book of the Old Testament and the first book, the birth of Jesus Christ of the New Testament, there is a 400 years of span. What that means is this. In the Old Testament, the Lord spoke. There was a divine revelation, and the Lord performed miracles, and He revealed His decrees. He revealed His will. However, at the close of the Old Testament, with the finished the last book of Malachi, God has not spoken for how long? For 400 years. No divine revelation, there was no miracle, and there was no prophecy, and there was no word of the Lord. 400 years. And Bible scholars call that time the years of the silent years, because there was no revelation. It's as if God was mute. Did He not care? If He cared, why did He not speak? Is He mute? Can He not speak? So it's that time. Now, things get worse, because what happened during those 400 years was this. Right before the book of Malachi, because of the disobedience of the people of Israel, they were exiled. They were sent to Babylon. They lost their homes. They lost their culture. They lost their language. They lost their name. It was tough times. Things go from bad to worse, because after that, the Greeks invade Israel. The Greeks came and they defiled the temple and they desecrated the Holy of Holies by sacrificing, slaughtering pigs. That was the worst insult to the nation of Israel. And a really, really excellent picture of how hopeless things were. After the Greeks, followed by Rome, the Romans came, and the Romans conquered the land, and they took the freedom of Israelites, and now they are under the occupancy, under the rule of the Caesar. And the emperor himself, Caesar, appointed King Herod to be the king of Judea. Now, Herod was not even Jewish. So another insult. And all those things, the 400 years of silence, really captured the hopelessness of the people. At the same time, the barrenness of Elizabeth mirrors the hopelessness of Israel. Did you see that? It was a time of hopelessness. So here's what I want to take you to. The theme and the goal is this. When you feel hopeless, cultivate hope by trusting, expecting, and waiting. Let me repeat that. When you are feeling hopeless, cultivate, it's an active verb, because hope is not passive. Cultivate hope by what? Three things. By trusting, by expecting, and by waiting. Because ordinarily, when we use the hope, we are referring to something that is baseless. We doubt that whatever we want, whatever we desire, the good thing that we desire in the future may not happen. And that's why we say hope. We hope for the best. We have our fingers crossed, and we hope that the COVID will go away. But we don't know when. We hope that it will be gone by January. I hope it, but it's doubtful. It's doubtful. There's no basis of certainty. Things are uncertain. That's why we use the hope. However, the biblical definition of hope is really distinctive and profoundly different. Let me give it to you. And I got this definition from John Piper. John Piper is a pastor, preacher, and a Bible scholar. And this is how he defines the distinctive biblical hope. He says, biblical hope is a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. Confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. And that's what Jesus wants you to grasp today. The hope that He gives to you is not uncertain, is not uncertain. The hope that he gives to you is a confident expectation and desire that something good will happen in the future because Jesus becomes your hope. So let's get to it. Here's how we cultivate hope. So when you are feeling helpless, cultivate hope by trusting. Write that word, trusting. And we get this from the book of Malachi and what is repeated in Luke 1. In the last chapter of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, I read God's prophecy. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. God's prophecy is a message of hope. He's saying, I will send somebody in the spirit and the power of Elijah to prepare the way for the Lord. And when the Lord comes, he will draw. He will draw people, all people, children, parents, back to himself. Now, guess what the angel says to Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, verse 16. He's referring to this new baby, John, the son that Elizabeth will bear. He says in verse 16, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Boom, right there. The last oracle, the last divine revelation of the entire Old Testament is repeated, reminded, spoken again at the birth of Zechariah's son John. John, your son, will be the forerunner. Because when John is born, he will prepare the way for the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he will turn, he will preach the message of repentance, and people, parents, children, sons and daughters, their hearts will be turned back to the Lord, because Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is coming. I believe Zechariah put his hope in the angel, not only because he was the angel from the Lord, but more importantly, because the angel spoke the word, the oracle of God from the Malachi. Look, Zechariah was a priest, and he was very familiar with the book of Malachi. And he heard the voice of the angel, and he said, I'm going to cultivate my hope by trusting in the prophecy of God's Holy Scripture. Did he believe the angel? Yes. But more importantly, he believed the spoken word of God's scripture through the mouth of the angel. So here's how you cultivate your hope. Your hope must be cultivated, not in what you hope for, not in what you wish for, not in anything else that people might say, but only based on the certainty and the promise of God's scripture. Whatever I say, you should not give any weight to it. Whatever God says in His Holy Scripture, we must heed. We must cultivate our hope based on that. Listen to this. Isaiah 55. Here's why you and I get to cultivate our hope by trusting ourselves in the Holy Scripture. Isaiah 55. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty or void, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Psalm 89, verse 34. The Lord says, I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered. Friends, listen to these promises. God cannot lie. Whatever he promises, he will fulfill. Whatever he covenanted to himself to, he will bear forth. So that's how we cultivate our hope, by trusting in the word of God. Number two, When you feel hopeless, cultivate hope by expecting, expecting, expecting. Remember the biblical definition by John Piper? The biblical hope is a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. So, guess what Zechariah did when the angel pronounced the prophecy of Malachi and said, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. Okay? We know two things. In verse 7, the author Luke writes, they were both very old, and Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And in verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. Put yourself in the place of this old couple. They've been wanting for a child all their married life. And they've been praying, 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 praying. And it hasn't happened. And I wonder if their hope was beginning to erode. I'm sure of it. The Bible scholars assume that how old were Elizabeth and Zechariah? They think they were at least in their 70s. What this means is Elizabeth's biological clock has expired. She is no longer able to conceive because there is no more eggs in her body. It's all gone. And furthermore, Zechariah is in his old age. And that's what he said. It's as if Zechariah is saying to the angel, we gave up on the hope of procreation. And we're not even doing any activity in terms of recreation. There is, however, this voice of hope. Once Zechariah heard the angel's pronouncement, guess what happened? In verse 23, when his time of service was completed, Zechariah, he returned home. After this, after what? After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. Friends, I believe here's what Zechariah did. Once he heard the news of that hope, he participated in the promise of hope. He did his part. Angel did his part. God did his part. But Zechariah also did his part. Hope is not passively waiting, but hope is actively participating. He acted upon the promise of hope because he expected his hope to come to pass. And therefore, he told himself, I must align myself in the will of God, and I must do my part. Hope, in this case, is not a noun. Hope is a verb. So, let me just give you a couple of examples. For those of you who are single and who have been waiting for the Mr. Right and Mrs. Right, okay, and you're hoping maybe in the year 2022, Mrs. Right, Mr. Right may appear. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but one thing that I can tell you with certainty is God's will for you is not simply passively waiting on the possible Mr. and Mrs. Right. God's will for you is that you become Mr. Right and Mrs. Right. God wants you to actively participate in the hope that you might have. Work on yourself. Become a person of character. Become a person of godliness. Somebody will say, hey, I am drawn to you because I see Christ's character in you. I am drawn to you. I'm attracted to you because I see the holy beauty in you. So rather than waiting for Mr. and Mrs. Right, you become Mr. and Mrs. Right. For those of you who are hoping for a better financial future, okay, that may happen. I don't know. That may not happen. I don't know. But rather than passively waiting and doing nothing, what I believe God is saying to you is, hey, Victor, you be faithful to God's stewardship today. Jesus said it so well. If you're not faithful to the little things I have given you, how can I trust you with bigger things? If I'm not being stewardly, if I'm not being honoring God with the money that I have now, the little money that I have now, why would the Lord entrust more under my care? So therefore, if you are waiting on, hoping for a better financial future, then today, remain faithful to the Lord by becoming a faithful steward. So cultivate hope. How? By trusting the Word of God. And number two, by expecting it to happen. Since you trust it, you expect it will come to pass. And lastly, you cultivate hope by waiting. By waiting. The angel appeared before Zechariah and he pronounced this great news that Elizabeth will have a son. Okay, and you are to call him John, and he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, and he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and all these great things. And then Zechariah says, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is long in her years as well. Then angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Now, I've read commentaries on this, and I've heard other sermons, and have you heard somebody saying, see, Zechariah, because his lack of faith, he's being punished and he's unable to speak. He becomes mute and he becomes silent. Okay? Well, I differ with that interpretation because of two things. Number one, later in the chapter, the same angel, Gabriel, appears before Mary. Says, you will have a son. The Messiah will be born of you. And she says, how can this be, since I'm a virgin? Exact same response as that of Zechariah's. How can this be? I'm old. My wife cannot conceive. And the angel gives this sign to Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. In fact, I will give you a sign. Your cousin Elizabeth, who was told that she's not able to conceive anymore, she herself is conceived by the work of the Holy God. That's a sign. Similarly, see, Mary was not punished for her response because it was not a lack of faith. It was like, help me with this. Help me to understand. Help me to wait upon the hope. Give me something to work with here. Same with Zechariah. Zechariah, he couldn't believe his ears, but he was not doubting. He was saying, how can this be? Help me with this. So he's becoming silent. He's becoming mute. It's not a punishment, but a sign that what the angel has said indeed came from the Lord. Think about this. For the next 9 months, Zechariah, this old man, and all his life he wanted a child. And now it's been promised. He has this hope, good news, but he is unable to share with anyone. Why not? Because he's silent. For how long? 9 months. Friends, can you imagine how hard that was for Zechariah? He has this good news to share. He wants to tell his Elizabeth wife. And he wants to tell this to his friends and relatives and everyone, what the Lord has promised and the hope that he has in the Lord's coming. He's unable to speak. And I wonder if you can imagine that God, for the last 400 years, he's been wanting to tell his people, he's been wanting to inform Israel that the Messiah is coming. Things are hard. You find life helpless and hopeless, but hang in there, because I'm going to send you my son, the prophet, because when the John the Baptist, when this child is born, and he will prepare the way for my son, Jesus Christ, he will prepare the way for the Lord. And God had to wait for 400 years to break the silence. And I wonder if Zechariah can anticipate that the breaking of the good news as he saw what God had to go through. This is the good news, friends. When hope is coming, we trust ourselves in the Word of God, because we trust, we expect that the hope to come to pass, and because we expect it, we can wait obediently and faithfully. 400 years of the people of Israel waiting for God's deliverer. Salvation has not come in 400 years. Things are going from bad to worse, from worse to worst. Things could not go any bad. You think we're living in troubling times. This is nothing compared to what they're going through in that time. And yet, the Messiah has come. And the Messiah is coming again. We found ourselves in this waiting period, do we not? Christ was born, and we're going to celebrate that. But in the meantime, we too wait, because things are not how they're supposed to be. Christ has come, He declared His kingdom, but until He comes again, we're living in this between times. And when He finally returns, everything will be just like He promised. No more tears, no more mourning, because the old has gone and the new has come. So friends, this is the first Sunday of the Advent. As you put your hope in Jesus Christ, as you cultivate your hope by trusting, expecting, and waiting, may He give you strength and courage. Let me end with something about Christ and a couple of applications. Think about this, friends. Jesus says, I am your hope. I am your hope. Don't expect anything else or anyone else. I am it. Do you realize I can summarize the entire Old Testament in four words? The entire Old Testament can be summed up in this statement. The Messiah will come. And the New Testament can be summed up in four words as well. The Messiah has come. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So let me appeal to my seeker friends. For those of you who find yourselves spiritual but not religious, you are drawn to Jesus Christ, but you're not sure what to make of Him or about His church. Here's what Christ is saying. I am your hope. I am your hope. I am the one who will deliver you from the worst hopelessness. The worst hopelessness is the eternal silence of God. When we keep rejecting God, when we say, I don't want God, when we edge God out from our life, what we are saying is, I don't want to hear God's voice. And that is the eternal silence. Christ says, I want to turn your heart to me. I want to give you hope and a future. I want to give you meaning and purpose in your life. Would you turn to Jesus Christ? And for the Christian friends, when you hope a good desire in the future, you just make sure that that lines up with Jesus Christ. We're not looking for things. If we have Jesus Christ, if He is truly our hope, then we can withstand some disappointments in life. But we will not be able to withstand the hopelessness of your experience if you keep going after things instead of Jesus Christ. You need a relationship, but that spouse of yours, that lover of yours, is not your hope. We need financial security, but that is not your hope upon which you build your life. Your success in career, that is a good thing. You desire that, but that is not your hope. Your hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, would you take all these jumbled up and inarticulate words of mine, and Holy Spirit, bring something good, would you please? use these words of this broken man, because I have spoken from your word. Would you plant a seed of hope in the listeners, in the audience, in this platform? Send them to Jesus Christ. Show them that the light of Christ, the Son of Righteousness, is shining, and Christ is coming back. So as we wait, help us to cultivate this hope in Jesus Christ. For we ask it in His name. Amen.